worship service from the First United Church of Christ in Sauk City.
WRPQ Baraboo.
W279 EG Reedsburg.
This is 99.7 FM Baraboo, 103.7 FM Reedsburg, AM 740, and streaming live everywhere.
We take you to St. John's Lutheran Church in Baraboo for the Sunday morning worship service. For worship times, visit stjohnsbaraboo.org.
Good evening. Welcome to St. John's. We're starting a short three-week series on stewardship, and it's called 10 for 10. Today we're going to be talking about how we open our hearts for first fruits giving. This is something that churches do on a regular basis. Last time we did it about 4 years ago, but we want to make sure that we understand how God takes a look at us and sees in our hearts and sees in our actions and tries to reveal to us where we are with Him. Let's begin with our first hymn, All Depends on Our Possessing, hymn 807, All Depends on Our Possessing.
We invite you to the Sunday morning worship service from St. John's Evangelical Lutheran Church in Baraboo, Wisconsin. St. John's is a member of the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod and proclaims the Word of God to a confused and uneasy world. Let's prepare our hearts and minds and ask the Lord's blessings on our worship this morning. Pastor Timothy Kofsky will bring us a message from God's Word, speaking on the scripture readings from Haggai chapter 1, verses 1 through 11, giving to God doesn't make a bit of sense. We will follow a special order of service on the screen. We join the congregation in our opening hymn, hymn number 807, All Depends on Our Possessing, hymn number 807, verses 1 through 4.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The earth is the Lord's, and everything in it, the world, and all who live in it.
Great is the Lord, and most worthy of praise.
His greatness no one can fathom. The earth is the Lord's, and everything in it, the world, and all who live in it. Commends your works to another. They tell of your mighty acts. The earth is the Lord's, and everything in it, the world, and all who live in it.
Your kingdom is an
is trustworthy in all he promises and faithful in all he does.
Lord God, Heavenly Father, we humbly come before you today knowing that we have failed to speak lovingly, think purely, or act rightly. We have sinned against you and against others in wasting the precious time you give us,
in hesitancy to spread your gospel,
in the faithful care of our relationships,
in our restless, relentless preoccupation with worldly wealth,
in caring for the bodies and minds you have given us,
in our refusal to make you our first priority.
Hear our confession, for we have sinned and are in need of your mercy and forgiveness. Lord, have mercy on us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us. God, our Heavenly Father, has forgiven all your sins. By the perfect life and innocent death of our Lord Jesus Christ, he has removed your guilt forever. You are his own dear child. May God give you strength to live according to his will.
Amen. Amen.
In the peace of forgiveness, let us praise the Lord. Giver of life and source of all love, we know that all we have received comes from your gracious hand. Help us to always use your gifts wisely and teach us to share them generously. Send your Holy Spirit to work through us, that many more might come to know the saving riches of your Son. May our faithful stewardship bear witness to the love of your Son in our hearts. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord.
Amen.
Please be seated. Our first lesson is from Haggai chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. The Lord asks his people to give careful thought about the relationship between their finances and their faith. In the second year of King Darius, on the first day of the sixth month, the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest. This is what the Lord Almighty says. These people say the time has not yet come to rebuild the Lord's house. Then the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. Is it a time for you yourselves to be living in your paneled houses while this house remains a ruin? Now this is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. You have planted much, but harvested little. You eat, but never have enough. You drink, but never have your fill. You put on clothes, but are not warm. You earn wages, only to put them in a purse with holes in it. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. Go up into the mountains and bring down timber and build my house, so that I may take pleasure in it and be honored, says the Lord. You expected much, but see, it turned out to be little. What you brought home, I blew away. Why, declares the Lord Almighty? Because of my house, which remains a ruin. while each of you is busy with your own house. Therefore, because of you, the heavens have withheld their dew, and the earth its crops. I called for a drought on the fields, the mountains, on the grain, the new wine, the olive oil, and everything else the ground produces, on people and livestock, and in all the labor of your hands. The word of the Lord. We continue with Psalm of the Day. Psalm 145b is on page 784 in your Psalters. It is also on the screen. Our gospel lesson is from Luke chapter 12, verses 13 through 21. Jesus teaches it is the height of folly to live for this temporal life, forgetting of the eternal life that is to come. We read, someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you?" Then he said to them, "Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." And he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry." But God said to him, "You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich toward God." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to you, O Christ.
All right. Today we're doing something a little bit different. We are talking about 10 for 10. This is a theme set up for our stewardship. And we see here that word stewardship. And what do you think? What's the first thing you thought? Oh, they're going to talk about money, aren't they? Right? Probably the first thing we thought. Now, I got to say, last time we did this, about 4 years ago, we didn't even talk about money at all. Well, we mentioned it once or twice, but it was about our lives and everything that we are. And that's what this quote this says. It's a quote from a gentleman named Randy Alcon. Stewardship isn't a subcategory of the Christian life. Stewardship is the Christian life. After all, what is stewardship except that which God has entrusted to us? Life, time, talents, money, possessions, family, and His grace. In each case, He evaluates how we regard what He has entrusted to us and what we do with it. You know what it's like. I mean, you have it in your own family. You compartmentalize your different part of your lives, right? Got to spend time with the grandkids. Got to spend time with the kids, right? And you got to get to work, and you got to make sure you budget things. You know, you got different things that are going on in your life. And you do the same thing with money. There's some money for paying the bills. There's some money for having a little bit of fun. And then there's, you know, what's left over maybe goes in the plate on Sunday. Isn't that the way it works sometimes? Every penny of what we have belongs to God. And that's where God asks us to, you know what? Take care of what He gives us. And we see on the screen there the totality of what stewardship is. The management of the totality of our time, our talents, our treasures, and the truth of the Scriptures that God gives me. God includes that word truth for a very good reason. Because some people don't handle it well at all. But we are to be stewards of that truth. And we do this as a group, as a church, working together in peace. And now think, if stewardship is the Christian life, why will a modern stewardship study need to focus on money, perhaps more than ever before in history? Well, there's really two reasons. First, we are incredibly prosperous in the United States. We are just completely rich compared to the rest of the world. I'm sorry, that's the case. All of our population is more rich than 90% of the rest of the world. All of our population. Wow. I always like to use what an immigrant from India said one time. He was being interviewed and he said, "I want to go where the poor people are fat." So he came here. Wow. We're rich. We have luxuries that King David never even dreamed of. Cell phones, cars to get us where we're going. You know, heat in our houses, insulation that makes it so it's always warm. Second, the mechanics of our life are intertwined with money these days, aren't they? Everything we do begins and ends with money. Think about it. Back in the day, some of you are old enough to remember that grandma and grandpa stayed in the house of their oldest child, right? Is that right? Oh, and they made use of themselves. They babysat the kids and whatever else, but they weren't out in the fields anymore. And then your retirement wasn't necessarily, therefore, how much money you put in your 401k, but it was about whether your kids like you enough, right? And today, you know, most of our population isn't on the farm anymore. You know, the way we made money was to make sure we had a great harvest and worked hard at it, right? That's not the case anymore. We have to produce, and we got to get the money, and then we got to put the money away for ourselves. And we've gotten to the point where we put money away for retirement so that we're rich at the end, although we haven't done it in our lives. More and more of our life is dependent on money today than in any previous generation. And that's just amazing to me. So let's take a look at a passage here. Psalm 20, verse 7. It says, "Some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God." Here's where I need to ask some questions, right? What's God getting to there? What is God trying to tell us? This is Christians from back in the Old Testament. And they had nations all around them that were going to destroy them. And so the kings would say, let's make sure there's an alliance here, an alliance there. We trust in our chariots. But did that ever help Israel when God was against them? By the way, you can interact. This is supposed to be a Bible study. Yeah, I mean, this was, you know, they trusted in the Lord. When they trusted in the Lord, they were blessed. And when they trusted in their chariots, they lost. It's amazing how that works every time. We need to be like that old trust fall that you see in, you know, what is that, team building exercises, right, that they have at businesses. And the idea is, now, I have never done this. You're not supposed to bend your knees. You kind of put your arms out so the person behind you can catch you. Now, although I didn't do an actual trust fall, I did fall back into somebody and they didn't catch me. It's a little too big. Stewardship does not just give the Lord honor, but it shows how much we trust him. Every bit of our lives shows how much we trust him. It's a demonstration that we trust him, just like the trust fall. You know, God wants us to trust him. That's part of the connection that we have to him in faith, right? And he says to us, test me and see in this. Take a look and see if I won't bless you. Do you really think he'll leave you behind if he asks you to trust him? You see, the focus on of this first fruits giving is not on the amount of what we give, but the attitude with which we give it. All right? You see, your attitude might change the amount you give, but I tell you what, the amount will never change your attitude. And it's important for us to see that. God wants you to have an attitude that is joyful, that is supportive of the work that we do, that rejoices in all that God can do through us. Let's take a look at some of those next passages that we have. Here is Proverbs 3, verse 9. Honor the Lord with your wealth. Right? With the first fruits of your crops, then your barns will be filled to overflowing, your vats will brim over with new wine. Look at what he's saying there. If you honor him with your wealth, what's going to happen? What's he saying? What's it? You're going to be prosperous because God's going to bless you. He's going to make little into much instead of the other way around when we give him a bad attitude, making much into little, like you do for your kids once in a while, right? When you need to discipline them. But God does this too for us. That's an interesting promise, isn't it? He doesn't specify any amount, but he wants us to recognize that he's willing to promise us something wonderful. Look at the next passage, Deuteronomy 26, 8 to 10. So the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, with great terror and with miraculous signs and wonders. He brought us to this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And now I bring the first fruits of the soil that you, O Lord, have given me. What did God give to the Israelites? Some of you farmers, a land flowing what? With milk and honey. This was a terrific place to live. All right? God keeps on giving. And so what does God expect? That you're willing, as his child, to be generous just like him. To be giving. To be those who give to those around you. It doesn't mean you have to give everything away. It doesn't mean you don't have to be, you know, hey, God has blessed you with wealth, and that's fine. That can happen. We have examples of wealthy people in the scriptures, from Job to Solomon to others. Man, oh man. But this is the problem. Look at Mark chapter 10 with the rich young man. Jesus looked at him, and I love this first line, looked at him and loved him. He asked, what must I do to be saved? One thing you lack, he said, go sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. Wasn't Jesus asking just what the commandments say? Love your neighbor and love your God. He had a choice. Follow God, follow Jesus, or love his money. But he chose the money, didn't he? Now, certainly that was a strong and difficult decision to make. And God thankfully doesn't ask that of us, to give everything to him. But he does ask us to give generously. Because you see, this isn't so much about us. That's what the next slide says. It's about our relationship with God. That's what this is about. I always like to put it in terms of a relationship, because God sometimes talks about this relationship like the relationship with your best buddy, you know, your spouse. All right? When you were dating that beautiful girl, did you take her to have only hamburgers on the dates? Or did you take her for steak once in a while? Once in a while. I see a couple smiles. A couple ladies saying, yeah, too many hamburgers. And ladies, when you had a date coming, what'd you do? Did you dress up, take a little extra time, make him wait a little bit, right? Putting on your best for him, right? This is the relationship we need to have with our God. That kind of intimate relationship where we recognize how much God is, means to us, and live it appropriately. Let's take a look at a couple more passages. These are true passages from the scriptures, right? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. You probably know that one, right? What does God own? Everything, I saw someone say. The earth is the Lord and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. Oh, that's interesting. For he founded it on the seas and established it on the waters. Not only did he make everything, what else did he make? You. So does he own you? He owns you. He doesn't treat you like a slave, but he treats you like a child, doesn't he? Doesn't he treat you like one of the family? We believe these passages are literally true. So how should that change the way we look at our God, who asks us simply to support his ministry here? Right? He says, this is what I want you to do. There's many of my children out there who need to have what you have, and I need you to support it. Now, could he have done it without us? Sure. But isn't it a privilege to work with your dad? Do you remember those times when you'd go working with your parents and you found it a great joy? That you were learning how to do all the adult things. This is the Father we're working with. And we need to recognize how wonderful that is. Look, where was I? There I am. Let's go to the next couple passages. More truth. He was with God the Father in the beginning. So think about where Jesus was. It's described as the sapphire pavement, a throne room, right? Angels around the throne. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. What do we see that God does? He gives his best to us, right? While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Is God like your parents? Does he give you what you need and the very best as well? Absolutely. Absolutely. How important for us to see that as well. We know what he did. We know what he did. God gives us to us first, and he gives us the best. A couple more passages. Romans 7, verse 8. For I know that good itself does not dwell in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry out. That's the sad trouble with having a sinful nature. But then God also says this in Galatians 5. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. God empowers us to really look at our own bottom lines, our own lives, and see how much of our time and our talents and our treasures we use for our Lord. And that he wants us to do it. Not just in money, but in serving one another, in blessing one another. And how hard that is in these days where a whole generation probably can't work socially with people because they're too connected here. But that means that you guys got to help them out. You guys got to show them how to do it right. Though my sinful nature wants greed, you can be empowered by God to do what's good and right. Let's learn to do that with our first fruits giving. That it's the best, that it's the first, that it is the first thing on our mind when these things happen. Let us rejoice. And so I'm going to give you a challenge today, which will be going over the next two weeks or so as well. Challenge to examine where I am spiritually, where I am in God's kingdom. How am I in pleasing my God? This is still important. It's not so that you get salvation, and you know that because your salvation is assured by the grace of Christ Jesus. But how am I with my generosity to him? How am I with that relationship to him? Am I treating him like my spouse? Like my girlfriend, my boyfriend? Am I putting him first? Take some time to pray over your checkbook and the checks that come in. And see if you have been showing him that kind of love. How do I want to support God's work? How do I want to make sure that we're not the only ones who have this grace? Read, ponder, pray. While these weeks go on, we're going to send you a few devotions during the week, a couple of devotions a week. Please take that time to read through those and contemplate on what God has done for you this week. You received a card in the mail, very likely. Some of you did, some of you didn't. Maybe you didn't get on, some new people maybe didn't get their address in the group. Sorry about that. But there'll be a card. There'll be cards out here for us, and they're a commitment card that is between you and the Lord. We're going to ask you to put them in the plate on September 28th. And we're going to put those up there on the altar. And nobody in the officials here, I'm not going to look and see how much you're saying you want to give. And you'll notice what it asks. It doesn't ask you to give an amount. It asks you to say, am I willing to try 10% for a little while, for maybe 10 weeks? Am I willing to try to raise maybe my giving by 10%, so maybe you're giving 5% of your what God has given you, and you're going to try 5.5%. That's what it's asking. How will you feel right with the Lord? And then at the end of that 10 weeks, we're going to give you those sheets back, and you'll remember whether you did or whether you didn't. Right? This is about you and your God. And so let yourself be challenged as you deal with these things. We continue with our next hymn before we go, of all things, to a sermon. Here, you guys didn't answer any questions. I'm just teasing. You did. You just didn't do it very loudly. What is the world to me is our hymn. What is the world to me? Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We read the section from Haggai a little earlier, a prophet we don't get to very often because it has a very specific message. And I just want to remind you of that one line. Be careful. What was it? Give careful thought to your ways. It just doesn't make sense. We know that 1 + 1 = 2, but there are plenty of times in life when the numbers just don't make sense. They don't add up. He was a good kid from a good family. How did he get hooked on heroin? Doesn't make sense. They had just celebrated their 20th anniversary. How could he walk out on their lives like that? Doesn't make sense. She took such good care of herself, and wouldn't you know, breast cancer, and she didn't catch it in time. What a mess. Just doesn't make sense. When we were young, we liked to think that the world made sense. We like to think that there is some law of nature or a scientific breakthrough or maybe a search on Google that will make everything make sense. But when we get older and more experienced, we know that in a sinful world, it doesn't always make sense. The hatred that is still out in the world that starts wars, the abuse of a child, sudden sickness, doesn't make sense. And that's what God is proposing today. Giving to God doesn't make a bit of sense, because God makes much into little. And because God makes nothing into everything. You can imagine the Old Testament people as they were being banished to Babylon and other places, and that their city remained behind, torched and in ruins, the temple fallen, and its gold stolen to another kingdom. And 70 years later, how they could have said the same thing. It doesn't make sense as they marched into a Jerusalem that had no walls. And goodness, it seemed that there were still fires on Mount Zion where the temple was supposed to be. It was horrible. Looked like a ghost town. Heap of rubble. Now the Israelites in the days of King Cyrus. This is before our reading, a good 40 years before our reading. We're told, go home and build your temple. Rebuild your temple. So they decided to roll up their sleeves and put some sense back into life, and they went to Jerusalem and they rebuilt the walls and they started to rebuild the temple and they put an altar up, and well, you know how people are. They soon lost interest. The rebuilding of the temple got put aside, and other projects that made much more sense were being done. They started to panel their houses. Why should they prioritize some shekels to build the temple? Still, we gotta make some homes for others. Everybody knows, you know, if the missus ain't happy, then, you know, it's not gonna be everyone's unhappy, right? We'll take care of ourselves right now, but we'll be in a better position later to support God's work and do what we need to do, but you know how people are, right? Later never comes. After laying the foundations 30 years before, there stood the temple still in ruins, and that's when the prophet Haggai was told to speak the message he spoke. Is it time for you yourselves to be living in your paneled houses while this house remains a ruin? This is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thoughts to your ways. You have planted much, you have harvested little. You eat, but never have enough. You drink, but never have your fill. You put on clothes, but are not warm. You earn wages only to put them in the purse with holes in it. This is what the Lord Almighty says. God makes much and little. The Israelites, it turns out, were preaching a sermon every time they looked at the temple and turned their back on it, and didn't help it. Their procrastination made a wonderful message to their children that God wasn't important. Yourself is more important, right? Giving to God doesn't make a bit of sense. That's a wonderful sermon, right? Do we ever think like this, the Israelites of old? You know, Charles Schwab tells me if I pay myself first and I invest it carefully, I'll get more money. And yeah, that happens. God says, I want you to love me. I want you to give me of your time and talents and treasures that I gave you. And yet, we invest in our futures, but we don't invest in our heavenly future. Humanly speaking, giving doesn't make much sense. When you put money away from you into a separate place that doesn't start building itself, man, oh man, you can't stockpile, you can't hoard, you can't keep something for you. We want the good life. After all, that's the American way, for the children to be richer than their parents, right? And yet Haggai here calls it a sin. Haggai's sermon made eloquent excuses upside down. Look at that middle part that's in there. It says, you plant much, but you harvest little. You eat and drink. And you know, this is really about attitude, isn't it? They're not satisfied with what they have. It's about their heart and how much they want right now. And boy, is that the American desire, right? Man, we can't even wait in line at Quick Trip. Now, they do a great job of putting more people up at the front, but man, you can't even wait. If the people had less because they gave little. God himself was seeing to that by one drought after another or one holy purse at a time. Think about it. God who once fed 5,000 mouths with a picnic lunch of a little boy is certainly able to make a whole bunch out of very little. But he chose not to. So let's put some of the things that Haggai's ideas into our imaginary prayers. Let's say them out loud. Dear Lord, I thank you for almost the lowest unemployment rate in America. How wonderful that is for us and for our society. Amen. Okay. Nice to see that the Lord is blessing. Dear Lord, thank you for allowing me to finally be debt-free while church and school remain in hock, sometimes just to make payroll. Dear Lord, I thank you for the 2% growth in America's economy. That's really pretty good, considering what we've come through. Now, if Pastor would just end this sermon, fly that plane in, and it would be great, because then I'd be done feeling guilty, and there wouldn't be any more problems. I already know in my head that I'm not going to give a plug nickel more, no matter what the Bible says about first fruits giving. Amen. Doesn't sound so good, does it? The attitudes that we sometimes have. Somehow those imaginary prayers really hit us in the heart. Are we preaching the same kind of sermon that the Israelites preached to God? Giving to God doesn't make much sense. Haggai's words make me wonder about two news stories I heard in the last 2 weeks. Again, American unemployment employment has been growing again. We're getting fewer and fewer unemployed. It's not necessarily a bad thing. God bless America. Then I heard another story that consumer confidence is highest since COVID. People are confident and they're starting to get out there and start doing these things, right? And yet, isn't it amazing how offerings always seem to remain flat? Will our church ever have more than it needs? We've come to expect a full-service church with a school, with a preschool, with a daycare, right? And yet, are we willing to prioritize that work in our lives? I don't want to practice any scare tactics. I'm certainly not going to tell you that, you know, hey, do it for the kids, or hey, the school's going to fall apart tomorrow. No, I simply want to tell you the truth. You get the ministry that you pay for. That's what you get. And God can make nothing You know, God can make wonderful big things into nothing, but he can also make nothing into everything. That we need to see as well. Do you think the people who suddenly decided to give generously and build that temple, which is exactly what happened, they responded to Haggai's strong words and they said, let's start doing this. Do you think God let them freeze to death when they gave their gifts? Do you think he let them go bankrupt before their real retirement day when they went to heaven? And Haggai's rebuke, the Israelites gave confidently to the Lord and his work because they believed in a God who can make much out of nothing. Isn't that exactly what he did with Christ Jesus? You see, it isn't our giving that makes no sense. It's God's giving to us who have been so unfaithful to him that makes no sense. That the Holy One of Israel would give himself completely for the sinful ones in America. That he would be the one who, in his grace, sent his only begotten Son. Jesus didn't give just 10% of himself. He gave all of his time. He gave all of his efforts. He gave everything of himself when he went to the cross to pay for your sins. Think about where he came from, leaving the heavenly streets of gold to be born in a barn. How willing he was to give and give and give. And he didn't even borrow to this. He didn't swipe some Visa to get something quick. And now he shed his precious blood to redeem you, pay for your sins. The one who willingly made himself nothing for us on the cross is our everything. In Christ, God graciously gives us all things. He gives us eternity, which gives us the whole world. He made nothing into everything. And the one who said, I thirst, is the one who washed you clean in baptism. And the one who cries out, why have you forsaken me, is the one who never forsook you. The one who prays, give us this day our daily bread, is the same one who provides us with abilities and talents to care for our families and work and show God how much we love him by taking care of those families. Should we trust a God like that? Who gives so much? Thank God that we trust a God like that. So the big issue before us today at St. John's is not about the money. It's often about our attitude. It was years ago when I did a study on this church. I don't know how much it's changed, but on average, our people give about 2%. And I know that there are some who give as much as 10%. Of their gifts to the Lord. Where are you? I challenge you to support this ministry and really make it go again, to really fill this church. Why? Because you love your Lord and you're happy to support that ministry. Give careful thought to your ways. Let's open our eyes and see the harvest that is out there. It's amazing to see the culture changing, that young people are starting to reject the godlessness of the recent years since that kind of started in the 60s, well, really back in the 20s of the previous century. Let's ride that wave. Let us rejoice and teach people what it is to be your whole life committed to the Lord. Show them what it is to love him enough to treat him like your best girl. My prayer this morning is Haggai's message opens your hearts in a major way this week. You worship a God who knows how to make next to nothing into amazing things. He can pound our greed out of our hearts, and he can love us enough to be like him, the ultimate giver. Let us live with that spirit. Let us grow with that spirit. God graciously gives you all things. Your God has been faithful. Trust in him. And let's make our giving not make sense because we want to keep on giving. Amen. Please rise. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. I got to find where I am. I'm still in that worksheet that we did. We continue with our confession of faith, the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated as we worship our Lord with our offering. Our offering is out there. We usually do that before and after in our church. We'll continue with our offering prayer, which they went right to the prayer of the church. So let's go to the prayer of the church. Oh, there it is. Okay. We'll sing our offering prayer, Lord of all good. For our prayers, we'll read the responsive prayer of the church. Lord God, you created the heavens and the earth.
Every animal, of course, is yours, as well as the cattle of a thousand hills.
Lord, from your hand comes boundless riches. We thank you, Lord, for making us your stewards. We pray that you will grant us faith, so we can please you in our stewardship. Lord, help us to see the time, the talents, and the financial resources we have are a sacred trust from you. We ask for your help, Lord, to use all our resources in worthwhile activities that will give you honor and praise. Lord, help us to spend time in your word and in prayer that you might nourish the faith you give. Please change us, Lord, from fear and selfishness to trust and generosity. Help us, Lord, to be wise and faithful stewards of the opportunities that you give us to use our gifts. Amen. And I did forget to pray for William Thorpe. He is going through some medical issues, and he would like to have a prayer. He's in what grade? Fifth grade? Sixth grade, maybe? We pray for William Thorpe, dear Lord. Continue to be with him at his young age. His family has had their share of physical and other difficulties. Lord God, be with him as he continues to test and find out what is going on. Lord God, bless the work of the doctors and nurses that they may come to a conclusion and find a way to give him more peace and joy in the world. All this we ask in Jesus' name. And in your name we also pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look on you with his favor and give you peace. Amen. Please be seated for our final hymn, verses 5 and 6 of All Depends on Our Possessing.
Thank you.
Good evening once again. I'm going to do a few announcements, and hopefully we'll get to the slide that has... that's it. Wells Connection. Sorry. Been a long couple of days. take a look in your bulletins. There's all kinds of announcements about what's going on at church and at school. Plenty of Bible study opportunities.
This broadcast
choir started on last
the
Wednesday.
Sunday morning worship hour from St. John's Evangelical Lutheran Church comes to you at 10 a.m. every Sunday morning on radio station 99.7 Max FM in Baraboo or 103.7 FM in Reedsburg. You can also stream online at max.fm. We invite you to worship with us again next Sunday at this same time. The cable television rebroadcast of the service will be shown at noon today on Spectrum Cable Channel 10 and Antenna TV 43. You can watch our services at 9 a.m. every Sunday on Facebook and on YouTube. This broadcast made possible by your contribution to the Media Ministry Fund. We thank you. Your letters and comments addressed to St. John's Lutheran Church in Baraboo, Wisconsin are greatly appreciated. The television producer is Wendy Grant. This is David Grant. May God lead you and bless you to a stronger relationship with Jesus Christ, our Savior. For more information about our congregation, go to stjohnsbaraboo.org.
You've been listening to the Sunday morning worship service from St. John's Lutheran Church in Baraboo. For worship times, visit stjohnsbaraboo.org.
WRPQ Baraboo.
W279 EG Reedsburg.
This is 99.7 FM Baraboo. 103.7 FM Reedsburg. AM 740. And streaming live everywhere.
Time for the Lutheran Hour, brought to you by Pastor Gerke and his congregation at Trinity Lutheran Church, 728 Church Street, Wisconsin Dells.
You don't have the power to save yourself. That's on God, but you are called to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. God is training us to live now in the struggle of these two truths. It's all on God. It's all on you.
A paradox is something that doesn't make sense mathematically, but is nonetheless real, as we'll hear in today's message by Dr. Michael